Good morning, dear saints. I hope we're doing good and having a lovely holiday, and your week has been good as well. And I trust you had a beautiful night. We're here again for another time in the Word. As much as possible, like I would say, avoid all forms of distractions and ensure that you have a posture waiting and ready to receive God's Word. Just before I go in, Merry Christmas to every one of you listening to me today. Wishing you a beautiful time away with family and friends, and wishing you a prosperous new year in advance. So today we'll just have a quick conversation around one of the things, or the theme we've been having. It was intentional to have the same theme in both churches this year, the love of God as our series for the month of December. And like I said, particularly intentional, just to have that same similarity in series this year. We'll just try to say a few things about the love of God today, and just see how far we can, go with that. One more time, as much as possible, avoid distractions, and Merry Christmas. Well, let's just go into the Word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening, or rather this morning, that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, you would know where we'll start from today, John 3:16. So go all the way with me to John chapter 3. Go all the way with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. Go all the way with me to John 3:16. Let's just say a few things about, the love of God as we've been looking at in the month of December. The year really went by quick, and we're here again. And it's a season where a lot of times we celebrate love more often than not. It's a season where people call the season of love. We also have, different categories of people who also say things like, Christmas is not necessarily about, December, or the month of December is not necessarily about the Christmas, and so many things, but regardless of what your ideology or thought is regarding that, truth is, it's a season where people have come together to acknowledge, that we can enjoy the privileges of talking to people about love. Just will want to double check that I'm live, and I'm thinking that just to be sure that everyone can hear me and can see me. Just give me that feedback quickly, please, on either the group chat or. Just to be sure that we are live and everyone can hear and see me clearly. If that's the case, I will just go ahead. I'll just go ahead to be sure that you can let me see that one more time. Lovely, 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 lovely. Okay, perfect. I think I've gotten quite a few. Yeah, so John 3:16, if you didn't hear that, that's where I'm running to now. John chapter 3, verse 16. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Now it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you look at that carefully, one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. I know that, and I hope that you believe with me that this particular scripture is something that is widely quoted by many believers, many churchgoers, as well as even many unbelievers. Right, many unbelievers as well know how to quote, or they know exactly what the scripture is saying, or what exactly John 3:16 says. But the truth is, a lot of times we can know certain things as a result of how the word is, as a result of how frequently used it is, but we don't know, or we don't pay attention to the details, nitty-gritty, and the applications, or you know, the intent, or you know, the purpose, or the details. Yeah, so we can know something. Something can actually be well known. Everyone knows it. Everyone speaks about it. Everyone can talk about it. You know, I remember speaking to you know, an unbeliever one of those days, and I went out and I was just trying to teach from John 3, and you know, he was as well quoting it back to me, right? So, but the truth is that there's a lot that is within the confines of that scripture, and that we need to unpack. And you know, it's like a fulcrum for our Christian faith, because it sort of summarizes a whole lot and gives to us a picture of, you know, and what love really is, and what kind of love is really demonstrated, right? So if you look carefully again, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him." Now, if you look at the second part of that statement, it says, or the third part, if that's what makes you happier, it says, "Whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But have everlasting life, right? So it means that what he's talking about here is something that gives or produces everlasting life in another. So if you look at that carefully again, it says that whosoever believes. So it means there is a whosoever, there is anyone who will believe, right? And he will not perish, right? So there are two categories of people. There are people who will believe. There are those who will not believe. If you go all the way to verse 36, "He that believes on the Son," the same John 3. Yeah, it says, "He that believes on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believes not on the Son shall not see life." So it's going to be, or whosoever does not believe is without life, is away from life, is separated from life. Okay, so he now says, "But the wrath of God abideth on him." Right, so he that believeth on the Son had everlasting life, right? And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, right? Shall not see life, shall not see life. So there is one that will see life, there is another that will be away from life. The reason that one will be away from life is not dependent on what God is supplying. Okay, let me say that differently. It's not dependent on God, but dependent on what God is supplying. I mean to say, dependent on what you do with what God is supplying. Did you get what I just said? Right? So he that believes, right, hath everlasting life, and he that believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Right? So if you go back to verse 16 again, "So God so loved the world." Now, if you listen to us for a while, you'll hear us say something around the use of John 3:16, speaking about, you know, "For God so loved the world." A lot of times we use that narrative as the word "so" there to speak about the quantity of expression of love. So "for God so loved the world." So we're saying, you know, the love that God has for humanity is so much that it got well. And I said something that even if you find that narrative as something suitable for your theology, you must understand that what John is describing, or Jesus is describing in this narrative, is as much speaking about the method and way the love is being expressed. Go to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Right? Look at 1 John 3:16. So John says, hereby, don't forget, we read John 3:16 and John 3:36 from the same author who is talking in 1 John 3, right? If you go back to verse 16, "So hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." So we see an understanding of God's love in that. We see an understanding of God's love such that we see, right? Do you get what I just said? Right? We see the understand, or we get to understand God's love and we see, or we see an expression of God's love and we get to understand God's love. Yeah, so "hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life," right? He laid down his life. So a lot of us in this season, in this period, right, we wish ourselves Merry Christmas, wish ourselves Merry whatever we want to call it, right? And we see that as a season of expressing love, yeah? But the truth is that that expression of love that is done in one season should actually be an expression that is done in all seasons. I'll take that one more time, right? Yeah, for the believer, there is no one season where love should be expressed more No, yeah, there is no one season. So love being expressed should be seen in all seasons. Okay, right? Yeah, because if you think carefully about the repercussion or the implications of the resurrection of Jesus, it has given to us a life of love, through love, in love, with love. You get the point, right? So whilst people can have a particular period, a particular pace where it looks like, because look at it this way, yeah, we end up trying, some of us try to feed 5 million people, 3,000 people, 300 people this Christmas. Well, I understand that you can say, oh, you're not the El Shaddai that will provide for everybody. But the truth is that people you are feeding this period that cannot afford it, in the real sense, they could not, if more often than not, you find out that throughout the year, they're probably without food, except other people as well, extended that level of love. Yeah, but I'm trying to say that on the grand scheme of things, right, we don't limit and restrict our expression of love to a season such as this. Are we together? Now, is it good to express love in a season such as this? Oh, yes, it is good. What am I not saying? Or what am I saying? Right, I'm saying we don't limit. I'm not saying that because we have said we don't limit it, we don't now express love now. No, I said we don't limit our expression of love to the season that we find ourselves. Okay, right? So because, you see, hereby perceive we the love of God. Such that because, you know, but John will say, because he laid down his life for us. Now, it doesn't stop there. He says, he laid down his life for us. The laying down of the life of Jesus for us, right, is not a for a one season thing. It's not a seasonal thing, right? It's going to be a lifelong thing. So he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the method or the template in which we see, okay, so when we see that Jesus laid down his life, what are we seeing? We are seeing love in demonstration. Number two, no, let me say it differently because people can get it twisted. Yeah, we are seeing number 1A, love in demonstration, and 1B is an example for us to follow. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. Look at 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example. How did John say that? We ought to give ourselves for others. We ought to give ourselves for the brethren. Right? How did Peter say it? Well, Christ suffered, and in the suffering, what is happening? Demonstration. How did John say it? Hereby perceive with the love of God that he gave. Right? So when you see the sufferings, resurrection of Jesus, it is an expression of love to humanity. So when he says, leaving for us an example that ye should follow his steps, it means that in seeing the example of love demonstrated by Jesus, we are seeing an example that we are to follow in his steps. We are seeing an example that we are to follow in his steps. So his steps is not just a template for us to watch from afar, but a template for us to watch, to see, and to emulate. Is that correct? Yeah. And to copy and to follow. Yeah. If that word is too big. Right. Yeah. So he says that for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that ye should follow his steps. Look at Ephesians 5:1. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. Can you see? We ought to lay as we see. That's following. Yeah. Peter will say, right, we ought to follow in his steps. Right, he laid down his life, we ought to follow in his steps. All right, yeah. Then Paul will now say, be ye therefore followers of God. Be ye therefore followers of God. As who? As how? As what? Dear children. So we are children because we have his DNA in us. We have his traits, his attributes, yeah? So the possibilities that can be found, right, within the confines of the existence of the man, Jesus, or within, you know, the bosom of God, so to say, right, is actually what we have as well. And that is why we can be called children. Okay, you see, Matthew 6 will say our Father, right? Father there will not necessarily speak about a male figure, but actually the source from which others come from, right? Progenitor, the one that produces. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means your work, only you does it. Definitely we know clearly, it's going to be the first part of 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, in that he laid down his life. Yeah, but in that laying down of his life, we see an example to follow. Are we together, right? He now says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, right? He now says, give us this day, right? We've taught that over time. You give us this day our daily bread. What does that really mean? I mean to say that is to say, which is to say, you forgive us our trespasses. Are we together, right? So it means that there is such a thing as forgiveness ahead of time, right? Look at Romans 5. You are in Ephesians 5, don't forget. But look at Romans 5. Look at Romans chapter 5 and go all the way to verse 5. Don't forget, we're in John 3:16, right? So I'm explaining John 3:16 through the lens of 1 John 3:16, through the lens of 1 Peter, through the lens of Ephesians 5, and through the lens of Romans, right? So if you look at Romans 5, we'll come back to Romans properly, yeah? But if you look at Romans chapter 5 and go all the way to verse 6, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay? So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It now says, for when we were yet without strength, when we're yet without strength, that means we lack strength at a point, right? What happens? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But look at verse 8, Romans 5, 8. But God, okay, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what does it mean to be while we're yet sinners? It was without, we were without strength. Altogether, we were the ungodly. But what now happens? Christ now died. So it means that the death of Jesus, that is an expression of love of God to mankind, was not something that God decided to do when he saw a change of heart in a man. Did you get what I just said, right? So it is not a change of heart in a man that made God change his mind. No, 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 no. God is such a God that is proactive. Are we together, right? Right from time, God has been a God that has been proactive. So God did not change his mind having seen a sense of repentance in another. Are we together? So it means that in true forgiveness, we will not usually wait for a sense of repentance to be seen. Are we together? We will not usually wait for a sense of repentance to be seen because we forgive. So why do we forgive? We don't forgive. We don't walk in love because we are seeing a mood. We are seeing a slant. We are seeing a heart. We are seeing a... No. It is that ahead of time, there's such a thing called being proactive as a believer. Go together, right? So he says, when we're yet without strength, yeah. So that's the template of love God demonstrates to man, and that's by the template. You know, John will say we ought to follow after his steps. Yeah, I just mixed that together, right? 1 John 3:16, and I missed 1 Peter 2. So if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, 5. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. If you go all the way to Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. Right? Who is God? Our Father who art in heaven. You forgive us this day, and so that we forgive others. How did that prayer talk about it? It says you give us our daily bread. So the Father of life is the one that gives man daily bread, even when man doesn't know he needs daily bread. Do you get that? Yeah. What is daily bread? Daily bread will speak about that bread which is eternal, that bread which is sufficient, the bread that is able to quench the hunger of man eternally, to quench the hunger of man forever. Okay, right? So you give us this day our daily bread. Yes, sufficient bread. The bread that is sufficient through all the times, through all the seasons, or sufficient in time T. Right? That means it is eternally sufficient. Right? And what does that really mean? He forgives our sins. He forgives our sins. That's the expression of love we see by the resurrection. Okay? So Paul will now say, Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and he has given himself for us an offering. Okay? For us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Right? Look at that one more time. Be therefore followers. So you are only followers because there's something you can see to follow. Are we together? You are not the one that is leading God. It is God that is leading, then you follow. And that's why, you see, I'm sure if you're listening to me for the first time, you would have been wondering, why did I change the Lord's Prayer? No, I didn't change it. I just put a little context to it, but we've studied over time. Right? So he says, you forgive, how he says it really is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yeah? So if that is the case, it means that God is the follower. Yeah, if the case is that God forgives you depending on how you forgive others, it means God is following you. Are we together? Yeah, God is following you. That means you are putting a template down and God is watching, then following. Look at, do you hear what I just said? Yeah, you see, if you don't pay attention to the use of words in scriptures, the things you will hold on to and run with, they will have gross implications that you might not be aware of, right? Because once you say, forgive us as we forgive, it means that you are the one that forgives, then God now watches how you forgive, then he forgives you. No. That would be you are a senior person. Altogether. Yeah? You are not the one that God is following. Yeah? You are not the one that God is following. You are not the one that God is following. You are the one to follow God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The moment you are the one leading, God is following. You have become the father. God becomes the child. Right? Or the dear child. You get the point, right? So you forgive, it is actually better read as you forgive our trespasses so that we forgive. Does that now make sense? It is he forgives, he shows us a template, so we forgive. Yeah, he laid down his life, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So he forgives, we then forgive, right? Yeah, you cannot be the one to teach God a forgiveness walk or a love walk. Yeah, the Bible says in Romans 5, we were yet ungodly, we were without strength, we were enemies of God. Altogether. So Ephesians 5 now says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You see, that word there means to be imitators, to be able to mimic. Are we together? So God is a God that wants to be mimicked. God is a God that wants to be copied. God is a God that wants to be followed. Are we together? Yeah. So God is a God that is more of a do as I do than do as I say. Even though do as I say is as important as do as I do. Did you hear what I just said? Right? So God will say, I want these people as children to do as I do. Are we together? Listen to what I just said. Yeah? God will say, so God is saying something, right? Yeah, do as I do, right? In the real sense, he's saying, do as I say. What is he saying? Do as I do. You get the point, right? So Paul will say, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Who is the template he now gives? He says, as Christ also had loved us and he had given us himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Are we together? So the greatest demonstration of love is seen in the offering and sacrifice of Christ. Are we together? So the reason for the season is Christ. Are we together? The reason for the season is Christ, right? So it's a season people at least you know. I always say it this way, that there are two times in a year where the body of Christ as a whole, at least you are sure to a large extent, will say the same things. Yeah? Easter, at least, what else were you saying apart from he died and he rose? Christmas. Altogether, love, 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 love in the air, love in the atmosphere, love in the families, love in the, yeah, and all of those things. But the truth is that this teaching of love is beyond the season of Christmas. It's a concept that needs to run and be with the believer, right, rigorously, You get what I'm trying to say, right? So be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, right? So the love walk or the concept of love is something we walk in, right? So we receive of his love. Look now, Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners. So God commended his love. Then what do we do with that? We now walk in it. Yeah, so let's start closing up where we've opened for a bit, and let's start seeing what we are doing today. So if you look at 1 Peter, go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, right? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us. What did I say? He suffered for us. 1a. Right? Christ suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should follow his steps. Right? So if Christ was one who was only saying, do as I say, meanwhile, his steps were not anything close to the love conversation or love walk. Are we together? It will be more difficult for the believer to actually know what to do. Because, you know, it's easier to see something to follow. Altogether, it's easier to see something to follow. Are we together? They're always, check it very well. If you look at some of our kids in church, right, you realize that some of them, when we are praying, some of them already have certain postures. Are we together? I can't believe, and I would not believe if anyone told me that their parents told them this is the posture you have when you pray. You know, you see some of our kids in church when they are praying, they put their two hands behind them, they hold their hands, and they are pacing. Yeah, I saw that when I was growing up. No one told me that is how I should pray. Are we together? So there's a template already that they are following. It's easier to set an environment full of a template. Are we together? Where people can just see and imitate, mimic, emulate, and just follow. Are we together? You will do much more work with that. Do you understand? Than actually the words. Are words important? Yeah, we communicate all that we know with words. We say what that we know, all that we know with words. We communicate the truth of God's word with words. But I'm saying much more than words is, let me see what I'm saying differently. I'm saying it's easy to teach the concept of love work and not practice it. Yeah, there's some of us, we know the Greek word for love. We know the philios, the agape, we know all the Latin Greek etymology of love, right? But in the real sense, it is not easy for us to demonstrate love. Are we together, right? You see, love doesn't put yourself as first. Yeah, you know, in our world, the most propagated concept of love is the selfish love. That love that feels like if I'm not certain, if it's not me that benefits, if I'm not, in the real sense, we now see that Jesus laid down his life for you to benefit, for you and I to benefit. Yeah, that selfless love. There is selfishness, there is selflessness. Are we together? Yeah, you know, some people, they try to be very logical and they try to be very ridiculous in their explanations. And they pick something like what we are saying to mean to be acting stupid. No, that's not what is being said. That's not what is being said. Are we together? No. Yeah? So listen to what is being said and stay with what is being said. Right? Selfish love is not taught in scriptures. Are we together? Selfless love is taught in scriptures. Selfless love is not the same as being foolish. It's not the same as being stupid. No. Yeah? But the truth remains that selfishness is not taught in scriptures. Right? So it's not about me. It's not about myself. It's not about my ego. It's not about myself. It's not about how, it's not always about how I feel. It's not always about how, why are you the one that everyone offends? You know, I was talking with someone recently, and I said, I've known you for a couple years right now, and every time we have conversations about your friends that have gone away from you, they are the ones that always offended you. I've never for once heard you speak about one thing that you've done. Yeah, that's selfishness. It's about me. It's about me. It's about myself. It's about me. If it's not me, it's nobody else. You see, that selfishness well laced with what you call ego, pride. Are we together? Yeah, pride. Yeah, see, the reason why the scripture instructs about walking in love is because people will step on you. The leg you're using to walk in that love, people will step on it. Yeah, you see, if people will not step on it, there's no need to be instructed to walk in love. Are we together? So people will offend you. People will upset you. People will get to you. People will see. I can't remember where I heard this from, but you know, the person said that if I'm not stepping on your toes and we are friends for years and we're not offending ourselves, we're not stepping on our toes, it means it just might mean that we're not walking close enough. Are we together? And that just made me laugh and made me think about it. Yeah, that's the concept of humanity. Yeah, that concept makes you feel like, it is me. No, Bible says, be ye therefore followers and walk in love. Be ye therefore followers and walk in love. Now, am I saying it is the easiest? No. Logically speaking, it's not the easiest. But biblically speaking, it is a template that is recommended to us. Are we together, right? Yeah, you know, it's interesting to know that some believers, you know, we even have notebooks of what people do to us. You see, this brother did this to us on this day. This sister did this to us on this day. And at this time, 1228, 1238, 12 years. But those same people, if you ask them to preach about the love walk, they can preach about it rigorously. Are we together? Yeah. These same people, if you ask them to preach about the concept of love, and they will say agape, philia, whatever name they want to call it, right? But the practice of it is that it just really means that we are not yielding our heart as much to God's word. Altogether, will people step on you? Yes. Will people offend? Did people offend Jesus? Yes. Who am I not for people to offend? Who are you that people cannot offend in the church? You misbehave, they correct you. You carry shoulder. That's ego. That's pride. That's outside of love walk. Yeah. They correct you. You fold your face. You squeeze your face. You start being moody. You start being, who are you to correct me? Who is this young boy? Well, that's outside of love. You see, that needs to be that part of us needs to be exposed to God's word to be dealt with properly. To be dealt with properly. Yeah? So people will offend us. But what we do ahead of time is what? We forgive. We forgive. We forgive. We forgive. We forgive. Very important. Very important. Some of us are so quick and fast to closing doors. We are so quick and fast to closing doors. You know, we're so quick and fast to, you know, I'm speaking to you today. In the coming year, make up your mind to forgive more. Make up your mind to cut people some slack. Make up your mind to cut. You know, I found out that a lot of times, people who like to correct others the most, they are so repellent of correction. I found it out in very few days of pastoring. Yeah. People who like to correct the most, they know how the church should behave better. They know how pastors should preach better. They know how pastors' wives should relate with members better. They know everything better. But for them, the moment you give them a simple correction, yeah, they flare up. Yeah, if that is you, yeah, in the coming year, decide and make up your mind that you submit to the voracious riches, or, you know, you submit yourself voraciously to the riches of God's word. Are we together? You can't be the one always correcting everyone, and no one can correct you. You can't be the one that, you know, people have always forgiven you. You don't forgive people. Yeah, all your relationships that you built over the years, you throw them in the trash just because of a very dirty, smelling, stinking, devilish ego. No, that's not you. You have the Spirit of God in you, so it means you can forgive. You can forgive ahead. Do you understand? You see, somebody asked me a question recently, maybe towards my birthday, earlier in the year. Say, how do you manage to give people space and, you know, and give people room to repent? And I said, well, I think to me, or for me, what I've done, I'm getting better at it even at that, right? What I've done is just to ensure that I'm reminded of what God's word says. I'm reminded of God. There's not a single human, let me say this to you, there is not a single human being who in this world, not one, who in this world that our relationship went south because I closed the door against them, not one. Yeah, what I do in relationships that eventually might tend or seem to go south, I leave, if they close their door, I leave my door open. I've had so many of them who eventually come back. Are we together? That's what I learn in the scriptures. Yeah, you can't just be the one. Yeah, there are times when I know I could have done things better. I always have that introspective conversation. What did I do that I should have done better? Yeah, what did I do? Because me thinking that you are always the one at fault, you are always the one with the issue, is me being very proud. And pride is not a fruit of the Spirit. Neither is it a gift in the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So in the coming year, you will walk in love. Bible says, be ye therefore followers. Be ye therefore followers. Be ye therefore followers. That means you can forgive even without a sense of what? Repentancing. Are we together? You can forgive even without the sense of repentance sin. So it's very, very, very important for you to actually read the scriptures and pay attention to it for yourself. A lot of times, we read the Bible just for others. We read the Bible because we want to teach others. We have disciples. We know we have people who will ask us questions. We know, well, that's good. But you see, for a minister, for a discipler, yeah, which all of us should be, you first read the Bible for yourself. That is what will now make you implement it such that you can now ask people to do as you say and do as you do rather. Are you here? Right? So what is the concept of love really about? We see a template in Christ Jesus, then we follow. We see a template in Christ Jesus, then we follow. Some of you, you've battled with unforgiveness through the year. Some of you, you've battled with, you know, not being able to repent, to own up to errors you've made, right? That's ego. That's devilish. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's of this world. It's of this carnal world. Where you have a track record. You have a record of, this brother, so on this so and day, this I greeted this brother, he didn't reply me cheerfully. On this so and day, he greeted this brother, he did not reply me. On this so and day, this brother walked into church, he did not reply me, he did not greet me, he did not say hello to me. Now, are there people who are ridiculously naughty and, yeah, there are. But truth is, give some people slack. That's the truth. Yeah, you see, the word patience, you cannot teach a Christian faith without the concept of patience. Yeah, you will just give some people some slack. They don't greet you. Who are you not to greet them? Why can't you greet someone who did not greet you? Do you understand? You can actually greet someone who doesn't. I'll tell you something for free. I lived in a house for over a year in the UK here. And there was a lady who eventually, some of you who know the story know, right? Yeah, when we're living, you know, on the second floor thereabout, you know, she usually, for every movement we make, she always hits the roof. You know that, you know, she stopped greeting us until I left that place. There was not a single day I saw her that I didn't say hello to her. Whether she responded or not. You see, what I teach you, I practice it though. I practice it. That's why nobody can really come to me and like, maybe I'm asking you to do the word and it looks strange to me because I feel like I'm not. No, I practice it though. I went to get, because I ensure that the word is first ministering to me. Till we left that house, there was no single day that we walked past ourselves, no single day we met ourselves on the staircase. I won't greet her, hello, how are you? Hope you're having a good day. There are sometimes she wouldn't reply me. The next time I'll see her and say, hello, how are you? Yeah, sometimes she will reply, sometimes she will not reply. Yeah, and she can reply me right now. And once she gets into her room, she uses her stick to hit the roof. I went together. Was I happy? There was not one day that she hit her roof that I picked a stick in my room. I started hitting back, not one day. Was it convenient? No, it cannot be. Know what it is for you to be sleeping on your bed and you're trying to turn your body on your bed, right? And because your leg of your bed is on the floor, it is making cracking noise in the floor downstairs. And she is saying she cannot sleep and she hits the roof. You are sleeping. And you that you are just turning, that hitting now wakes you up. But not for one day did I pick a stick and I hit it back. Not for one day did I lambast. No. Yeah, because I'm seeing a template in my father. I'm seeing a mentor in my father. I'm seeing an example to follow in my father. I went together. So when you have track records of what people are doing, you are writing it down, you are keeping it down, you are writing it down, and you are now holding much more grief. See, before the Christmas day goes off today, you see, the fire you will use to cook your rice, that fire you will use to, you know, cook your chicken sauce and everything, before you put your pot on that fire, put that book, right, in that fire. Yes, take that as an instruction from the Holy Ghost. Put that book in that fire. And if the notepad is on your phone, put the phone in that fire. Yeah, you can delete the app. Yeah, are you getting the point? Right? Don't have a book. Some people have books, notebook. This is what this person did to me. That is what this person did to me on this day, 2007. Right? No. You are bigger than that. You are living beside your reality. You are living beside who you are in Christ. You are living away from your reality. Out together. Yeah. Will people act naughty to you? Yes. And that's why scripture says walk in love. Out together. Right. So walking in love now does not mean you should now go and be silly and be making foolish decisions. Are we together? Yeah. Somebody has told you, if you come to my house, I'll kill you. Right. And you too, you want to go. No. That's you trying to be very silly. You know, somebody will ask how, you know, in the real sense of things, in our conscience, when we actually, let me jump that today. Yeah. So if you look at Ephesians 5, let me not detour a little. Look at Ephesians 5 again. Or go to 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let me tell you something. See, forgiveness does not, and that's why we need to be careful with relationships. Let me tell you, there are some things that when people do, no matter how much you forgive, the relationship in itself, because everyone, we are all humans, might not go back to to where it was initially. And that's why we also need to be extra careful with relationships. Are we together? Yeah. The relationship might not go. I'm saying there's some people that in the real sense, right, people do things to them. And even when people, when they do things to them, I come and apologize to them and they are very sorry, lie down, kneel down, prostrate. You can see the empathy and the sympathy and everything all around, right? They still decide that, no, in my heart, no, that's not the believer. That's not the believer. You know, someone can do something to you and you say, oh, I forgive you, but I mute you. Yeah, you can say, I forgive you, but I don't think there's anything that can, you know, bring us together. I don't think there's anything that can, you know, bring us to do our business. But the fact remains that you're forgiven. Yeah, because the truth is that when you look at the concept of forgiveness in scriptures, we realize that the most important part, that is, the most important part in all of the narratives is the state of the heart. Yeah, but you can't say you forgive someone tomorrow. You are the CEO of a company. The person comes to submit to a company, but the person doesn't know you work there as the HR manager, for instance. And you see the person's CV, and on account of what the person said, which you said you are forgiving, you don't give them the job. All right? Or somebody else wants to give them a job, and they ask, do you know this person? Right? You don't. I mean, there are very extreme conversations and extreme narratives where people can begin to explain. And but I'm saying, in your heart of hearts, you know that which is of God. In your heart of hearts, you know that which is of God. Are we together? You know that which is of God, right? So if you look at 1 John 3, you see, if you go back all the way to verse 11, 1 John 3:11, for this is the message, wow, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. So what has been the message of scriptures from beginning? That we should love one another. That we should love one another. That we should love one another. Now look at what he says in verse 12. Not as Cain. So who is Cain? Cain is an example of who not to be or follow in love concept. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and he slew his brother. Are we together? Not as Cain, yeah? Who was of the wicked one. See what I'm trying to say? I'm saying, can someone do something very terrible? Are we together? Right? Can someone do something very terrible to someone you love? Right? For this instance, now, Cain killed. Right? Can someone do something that terrible, right? And you forgive? Oh, yes. Is that saying that person should become your best friend? Oh, no. There are two different narratives. I went together. You know, there are things people do to you that the more you see them, it just brings back sore memories. It brings back bad memories. So for you as a believer, what you need to do is to expose your heart to God's word more so that you can heal genuinely. So you can heal from the roots. Altogether, right? So who is Cain? Cain is the one that killed his brother. What is John saying about the story of Cain? Don't be like Cain. Don't be like Cain. So it means that you can summarize the scriptures, right, into two kinds of examples. Examples to follow, examples not to follow. Are you listening to me? You can summarize the stories of scriptures into two narratives. Examples to follow and examples not to follow. I'm going to pick that up again in our next teaching, probably on Sunday, which I thought about. I think I did that in Nigerian church when I was with you all 2 weeks ago, right? And spoke a lot about choices we make, right? You know, but what I'm saying to you today is that the scriptures will give you examples of who to follow and examples of who not to follow. Are we together? Yeah. When you look at a story in scriptures, for instance, a popular story we did in local church series earlier in the year, right? There will be men like Absalom. There will be men like Ahithophel. There will be men across scriptures who they deliver themselves to Satan for the using of the flesh. You know, Paul would say destruction of the flesh. Yeah. Bible does not teach that you should not keep your distance. Bible does not teach you should not apply his wisdom in navigating relationships. And we're together. You can't know somebody wants to kill your father and you are eating with the person. That's very silly. Name of love work. No. You can forgive that person without eating with the person. You know, that's for people as well. You know, because of what they've done to you, you are not even sure your life is safe. Yeah? Can you forgive them? Oh, yes. Should you forgive them? Yes. Must you forgive them? That's scriptures. And we're together. Let it be that if for any reason God's word touches their hearts and they come back, you are not away from a place they can reach out to you to forgive, to ask forgiveness. Don't forget, you are not waiting for them to come to you before you forgive. It is only that in the real sense, with how tricky the narrative might be, it might be that it's on their end, they first close the door. Yeah, so you might attempt and give some attempts to try to get reconciliation. It doesn't work. Hey, now, what I'm not saying to you is to keep pursuing and pursuing. What I'm also not saying to you is that, you see, there are 10 million other men in this world. There are 10 million other friends in this world. You see, there are relationships that are supernatural. And there are relationships that we need to hold with all of our hearts. That's the truth. Altogether, that's the truth. There are things you are looking for. You're looking for in men that are 10,000 kilometers away, and they're actually with somebody around you. There's somebody you are seeing every day. There's somebody who you can call and say a word of prayer to. There's somebody who can minister to you. There's somebody in your house. There's somebody in your local church. Yet what you are looking for 10,000 miles away. Altogether. So that bitterness and unforgiveness is not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. Let me tell you something. See, forgiveness does not mean that because, you know, you just want to forgive. People who, when you read their post, it gives you troubled nights. You are now reading it. No. That's not the same as forgiveness. You are getting yourself unnecessarily worked up. It's not necessary. Are we together? Yeah. So there will be a sense of forgiveness you give, Bible forgiveness you give, but it will require. Let me give you a quick example. Peter, Judas betrayed. Are we together? You know what I always say, right? It's very important for us as a church to begin to teach. You know, a lot of times we teach about people like Joseph. We say that Joseph is somebody who, you know, he forgave Potiphar's wife and all those kind of things. Yeah, it's beautiful to teach. Also beautiful to teach the likes of David who forgave, you know, his sons and all of those things. It's beautiful to teach, you know, but there's also a place in scriptures where we teach. Don't be a Potiphar's wife. Are we together? Don't be a Potiphar's wife, right? Yeah, don't be somebody who is looking for how to cause damage, who's looking for how to destroy people. No. That's not who you should be as a believer. But I'm saying to you as a believer, let's assume that someone you end up coming in contact with. Yeah, let's assume that someone you end up coming in contact with. Yeah, it doesn't take you anything to actually get yourself in a place for sanity and safety. Sanity and safety, right? But it doesn't change the fact that if someone wants to reach out to you again and they want to ask forgiveness, they have to now go and reach out to 10 different people before they get to you. No. Yeah, you can actually forgive and draw boundaries. You can forgive and draw the lines. You can to draw the problem with this kind of teaching is that that's why we need to teach it more and in more details. Because some people will now come and say their own boundary is to block, their own boundary is to destroy other people. No. Whatever you do that is not of love is not of love, no matter how much you explain it. So what is expected of you, regardless of what anyone does? Bible says, be ye therefore followers. You were without strength. You were the ungodly. You were enemies and Christ died. So look at it very well. I was talking about Peter and Judas. Peter will deny Jesus 3 times. Yeah. Did Jesus forgive advice? Think about it. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one we are seeing as the template who gives forgiveness ahead. Did Jesus, right, forgive Peter? Oh, yes, he did. Did Jesus forgive Judas? Oh, yes, he did. You must find it in your place, in a place in your theology, to accept and agree that Judas was somebody who Jesus did not have any guile against. So what destroyed Judas? What destroyed Judas is not the inability of Jesus to forgive, but the inability of Judas to come back to a door he once shut. So what's the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter went back there and opened the door. What did Judas do? He stayed behind this closed door and killed himself. What I'm saying to you is that there's a life that Jesus would have lived, which some of us live today, that would deprive Peter from coming back. So if you can see that Peter came back after denying 3 times, it means that if Judas came back, Judas would be well accepted. If, yes, he will. He will. Might there be a tendency that we don't have this record in scripture because he didn't come back. But might there have been a tendency that Judas, who was the accountant, they would take that accountant position and give it to another person. Oh, yes, there might have been. Altogether. But the fact remains that you as a believer, you are not the one to shut the door, ensuring and preventing those who shut the door to come back. And if you are the one who, in the real sense, you are shutting every single door, it is pride that makes you think you are sufficient. You see, Pastor Naka would usually say that as humans, we are created deficient by nature and sufficient by association. We are deficient by nature, sufficient by... So those of us who think that we are the worst, we only want ourselves, it's only me, my family and I. Let me tell you something. Yeah, nobody in this world lives a life of success in isolation. Not one. You cannot point to a human being who lives a life of success. And when I mean success, I'm using the word carelessly. Both materially, financially, even career-wise. Even he lives in isolation, not one. Not one person who says they get to the highest form of their career without interactions with other people, help and guidances and suggestions and counsels of other people. Whether you tell the people that give you counsel, that whether you tell them I'm not using your counsel and you go and use it, it doesn't take away the fact that people are being used for you. Same thing with ministry. Same thing with ministry. It's God's method. It's God's structure. God's method. Are we together? You have a pastor over your life. And not just a pastor. Your pastor comes with another group of people, a community that you call brothers and sisters. And you live in that reality. You live as a family. You live as a whole. You live together as one. Yeah, so it's God's method in the earth. Are we together? Yeah. So Jesus, in 1 John 3:12, is it saying, not asking who sleep his brother. His works were evil, verse 12, and his brothers righteous. Now, if you look at verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life. Look at verse 16, where I was. Hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, we lay down our lives for others. We are sacrificial for others. We are sacrificial for others. We are sacrificial for others. You know, there are certain things that you would want to enjoy on your own or yourself. And you keep enjoying it every day. And sometimes, some days, you just say, oh, wow, I don't want to enjoy this alone to myself. Who can I share with? Who can I sacrifice this with? Which is what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians when he was talking about the communion or what you call the love feast that was happening amongst the Corinth, where there was no heart and attitude of being sacrificial amongst the brethren in the local church. Altogether. So Paul will say in Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God. Be ye therefore followers of God. So if your understanding of God is not as much clear as it should be, your display of love will be that way. So people believe that God is a tit for tat God. So God, if you do good to him today, he does good to you tomorrow. If you do bad to him today, he does bad for you tomorrow. And that's how we deal with our relationships with people. Right? No. You see, some of you are listening to me right now. You've heard this the 10th time or the 15th time. And saying, I know the scripture pastor will go to next. It's Titus 1. You know everything. Yeah. But you see, if you have what it is, what is preached in scriptures, and you don't do anything with it, you are as good as a foolish man, or what the Bible would call a foolish man, who is not a wise builder, or who does not build with God's materials or God's method. Together, yeah. So it's one thing, you know, some of us are saying, oh, this church, they repeat a lot. Why are they not saying this? Is that they don't know so much? Yeah, we do know it. We do know quite a little, right? Might not be so much, but trust me, we know quite a little. But the truth is, even from the little that we've preached and the little that you've heard, what have you acted on? What have you done with it? What have you done with it? There's someone listening to me right now. There's somebody who offended you, right? And she is a lady, actually. She tried to reach out to you to apologize, and you shunned her away. Before the year runs out, try and go back to that person and give the person a call and actually go back and with your heart of humility and ask for forgiveness. Yeah. Yeah, I can call your name. I'm actually seeing you right now, but I won't call your name to the public. Right? I'm seeing you right now, and you know yourself. There was a lady who did something terrible, something bad, whatever it is. Right? She had attempted to come maybe once or twice, right? And you shunned the person away. Yeah, you just shunned the person away. You just despised it. You see, that's pride. Yeah, that's pride. I'm not saying that person should be your best friend from tomorrow. No, go back to that person. Go back to that person before the year. In fact, this Christmas day, as much as you can, right? And give a call. Give a call. Right? And just allow it to just ask for forgiveness. You know, some of us are too big to say I'm sorry. Ah, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Very terrible thing. Very terrible thing. We are too big to say I'm sorry. And that's pride. We are too big to say thank you. We are too big to say please forgive me. Are we together? And I hope you know there's a difference between thank you and thank you so much and thanks. There's a huge difference. I always give an example of, you know, somebody who, you know, asked for, you know, for support and all of this is giving, you know, at first, and, you know, thank you so much, God bless you and everything. And the second time, I wasn't as buoyant as the first time. And the response I just got was thanks. They know what they are doing. Yeah, I'm going to teach it properly in the coming year, right? Etiquette and relationship, how we relate with people. Thanks is okay for office. Yeah, some of us, they will give instruction in group chat, they will give everything in group chat. The little you will do is thumbs up on the group chat. We will come for those narratives very soon. Pastor will type and give instruction, your leaders will type and give instruction, you just give thumbs up. Right? I know I've not taught it properly, but we'll teach it. But I'm just saying it in passing. Right? You should learn to appreciate, learn to say thank you altogether. Learn to say, I am so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, your partner offends you. I'm so sorry, my dear husband. I'm so sorry, my dear wife. Your leader offends you, or a member in church offends you. I'm so sorry, dear brother. I'm so sorry. There's a difference between thank you, thanks, and thank you so much, or thank you so dearly. Yeah, people have different ways of saying it, but I'm trying to say that the truth is that you know better to do better. That's the truth. You know better. There's a difference between sorry, and I'm sorry, and I'm so sorry. So what I'm saying to the person who's listening to me is not to just go and casually just say apologies. No, that's another one. There's I'm sorry, there's sorry, there's I'm so sorry, I'm deeply sorry, and you can mean it from your heart, and apologies. No, it is different. Yeah. So I'm saying to you, that person who I'm speaking to, go back and go and actually say, don't be too proud to say, I am sorry. I am sorry. I didn't mean it. This is what I meant. I am so sorry about it. Are we together? Right? And just let people go. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is, on the grand scheme of things, what is expected from the believer is to follow the template in scriptures of forgiveness. Follow the method in scriptures of forgiveness. Follow the method that we see that we are to follow after. So if your understanding of God is actually partially, partially unstable, so to say, your relationship with others will also be that way. Your relationship with other people will also be that way. Your relationship with others will also reflect your knowledge of your God. Because you think that it is tit for tat, that's how you deal with people. No. Don't be looking for how to revenge. I'm going to get there, Romans 12, later on to the Romans 12, Romans 13, right? Don't be looking for avenues to revenge. You know, some of us, people do things to us. In your mind, you say you forgive, but you are going to their page, going to their WhatsApp page, their Twitter page, their Facebook page, their Instagram page, to go and check if they are still alive. Because somewhere in your mind, you are trying to prove touch not the anointed. Oh my goodness. The things we do as believers. Right? Yeah. Somebody who you say, okay, the what they said to you upsets you. What they did to you is upset you. You say you forgive. But in your forgiveness, you are going and you're expecting. And when you now go and maybe they just post one candle. You know how people post candle. Maybe they lose somebody in their family. They don't play with the children of God. No, don't be that way. Don't be that way. No, don't be waiting for bad news. No, don't be expecting bad news. Don't be waiting for bad things to happen to people so they can know of the truth. You meant a lot to them. No. Don't be that way. See, I can tell you for free. There are several people who in my relationship with them over the years, we can say that I had the key in my hand to shut the door and to lock it. I had it. I could have done it. In fact, a friend of mine reached out to me and said, I think you need to, you know, get this out of the way. I just shut it out once and for all. And I said, no, I'll leave that door open. When God's word touches your heart and when God's spirit touches your heart and you come back, I don't want it to be difficult for you to come back. No, it's going to be difficult for you to come back. So that's why be careful of the words you say in anger. Be careful of the words you say to people when you're upset. Because a lot of times, it is those words that we say, are we together? Those words we say that in the real sense we now use to shield ourselves from walking in forgiveness. Just what I'm trying to say. Imagine you say somebody, I will never need you in my life. Let's assume God's word is touching you and touching your heart. Because you've already said, I'll never need you in my life, you've echoed it to yourself and also to them. Your ego now comes into the place and you cannot now relate or even try to bend because you say you are a man of your word. You are a woman of your word. No, stop all of that in the year 2024. Let it end with this Christmas. At the end of this Christmas, right? So love work entails that there's a heart you will have that's a heart that follows the template of Jesus. Template of Jesus. You know, some of us, we know how to say negative and terrible things about people. You know, one of the things I've learned to do over the years is if for any reason, let's say for any reason I misguide, because I'm human. If for any reason I mistalk, I misyarn, I say something, maybe someone does something to me, and I don't even have as much friends, right? And maybe I just say it in passing or I just say it maybe to my wife or something, right? I've learned over time to go back to the person I said it to and tell them, oh, this is what I said, oh, things have changed. No, that's a godly thing to do. That's a godly thing to do. Yeah. Oh, I said this about this person. I was probably upset when I said it, right? I was probably not happy with how the person treated me or how the person responded to what I did or how the person, it could be anything. But you see, the truth is, me and this person, you know, this is what is happening now. It is clear cut. Not the one you will say things that will shut you off from relationship, shut you out from relationships, close doors of relationship. For you to close, just be closing every door. People, somebody does not wish you happy birthday, you block them. Somebody wish you happy birthday. Last day they put, happy birthday, my dear brother. You are going to prosper this coming year. You are going to do well in Jesus and everything. I love you so dearly. This year, they just say HBD, WLLLMP, right? Wishing you, hey, you know what I'm trying to say, right? And I say, but why did this person just block them? You are so proud, such that you think you know who God will use for you. Let me tell you something. No matter how much you see in the spirit, you cannot know everything about tomorrow. If no pastor has told you, hear it from me as your pastor today. No matter how much your pastor trains you to see in the spirit, we can see in the spirit. We know things. We have word of wisdom. We have prophecies. You cannot know every... The moment a man gets to a point where he knows everything about tomorrow, he becomes a god. You can't know. You can't know. Let me say one more time. The moment you know, no matter how much your eyes see, you can see ahead. Yes, you can call people's account number, call the color of the clothes they wore yesterday. You can call the date of birth. We do all of that. We are the ones that trained most of you. Most of you were trained on that method in God's palace. Most of you. That's the truth. Most of you were trained with all of those in God's palace. And I'm trying to say, me, the pastor of the gospel, I'm saying to you, you cannot know every single thing that will happen tomorrow. You cannot know who's going to help you tomorrow. You cannot know. And as well as know that. Now, you might know. Listen to what I'm trying to say. You might know some bits. You might know. But you cannot know every single person that God is going to use to help you every single time in the future. No. You will not know. It's not. The moment you know all of that, right, you have become a god. So, this attitude of always cancel, you know, in our world, cancel culture. You just cancel people. No, it's not found in love. It's not found in Christ. It's not found in His Word. Can we? You see, there are some things we teach, but you cannot teach it from the Bible except you twist the Bible. You can't. You can't teach it from the Bible except you twist the Bible. You've got to twist the Bible to get to certain conclusions. So that attitude of someone steps on you, like I said, who are you that they cannot step on? Who are you that cannot offend? Who am I that cannot be offended? Do people offend me in local church, even as a pastor? Oh, yes. But who am I? Are we together? Oh, yes. But who am I? Who am I? Who am I? That is why the instruction says, walk in love. That's why the instruction says, be ye therefore followers. Christ has set a template we follow. Are we together? Yeah? If you look at, let me jump into a few things. If you go to Hebrews, trying to see where can I jump to right now. Time is just away. Yeah. Okay. So if you look at Hebrews 12, we use the first hour to speak about John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. I hope you know. So if you look at where that says, go to Hebrews, right? Look at Hebrews. I can see a couple listening to me right now. A couple, two of you. You are listening to me. You had a rift last night. Right? I've not spoken to yourself. You've not spoken to yourself since last night till now. Yeah? I can see a couple. I see you clearly. Right? I see you clearly. You've not spoken to yourself since last night till this morning. And you are supposedly sitting together. You are not, it doesn't even look like you're ever sitting together. You know? But right now, as you're listening to me, leave your notes right now. And actually go and give yourselves a hug. Yeah? I'm seeing a couple right now. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple right now. Something happened last afternoon, yesterday afternoon into evening, right? And you just stayed away from yourselves and you've not spoken to yourselves. Leave yourself, leave, drop your note, drop your Bible. Practice what we are teaching. Practice it right now. Yeah, practice it right now. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, right? The heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of Christ, of church, and church rather, of the firstborn, which were written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and spirit of all men, of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the new blood, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. Now, if you look at verse 22 very carefully, it says, ye are come to Mount Zion. Right? So it is those that are in Mount Zion that now have an example to follow. So Jesus gives an example to those in Mount Zion. So when we teach forgiveness, teach love work, as Christians, when we teach from the Bible, who is our emphasis to be on? Our emphasis will, should be on fellow believers who have come to what? To Mount Zion. Are you with me? To Mount Zion. So we are people who have a template to follow. So Jesus, by the resurrection, died for our sins, gives us eternal life, and calls us into a community, and speaks to us and say, we all are followers. So what I'm saying to you is, a Christian who offends you, and they did something terrible to you, maybe they lie about you or lie against you, or they did something very bad, right? Yeah, in the real sense, should that Christian have done that? No. What is the instruction of God to you who they did it to? Be ye therefore followers of Christ. What was the instruction of God to the person who did that? Be ye therefore followers of God. What is now the instruction to the person who did that? Be ye therefore followers of God. So at every point in time, regardless of what happens within man, amongst men, the truth remains that we should be followers of a template that has been given. A template that has been given. A method, a clear-cut path that has been given. Are we together? Yeah, so we have come to Mount Zion. Paul says, be therefore followers of God. So the template of God is independent of how you feel. The template we are to follow is not linked to how you feel. Let me tell you something. When you are asked to forgive and you are asked to walk in love, you might not always feel like you are okay to forgive and walk in love. But the instructions is regardless and independent of your feeling. I'm saying your feelings don't have a say. Your feelings don't have a say. Your feelings, they don't have a say. Your feelings, they don't have a say. Did you get what I just said? Right? So the template that we are to follow is independent of how you feel. Independent of what you think. It's not about how you feel. It's about what is the template that you should follow. So can someone hurt you so bad and the person knows they hurt you? You know some people, we have different categories of people that hurt people. There are those who hurt people and they don't know they hurt people. There are those who hurt people and they know they hurt people but they don't care. And there are those who hurt people and they know they hurt people but they don't know how to go about the reconciliation. I'm trying to say, regardless of who the person is, regardless of what category they find themselves, let it be that if for any reason they need to come back to you, you are there graciously, you know, openly. I know it's easy for us to say, you know, beat me once, call me, how do we say it? Beat me once, call me, beat me once, shame on me, beat me once, full of, you know the parable I'm saying, bite me once, peace on peace be to me, something bite me twice, shame on me, something in that narrative. I'm trying to say, regardless of it, we're going to go to something quickly before we close today, right? So if you look through very well, you'll see that there'll be different kinds of people, but it's not really about the person that hurts you. It's about you and what template are you following. What template are you following? Look at that Hebrews 12. You know you've read Hebrews 12. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13, verse 1. What does it say? Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. What is the brotherly love that should continue? Go back to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and go all the way to verse 10. Hebrews 2, 10. Hebrews 2, 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons unto glory, to make the captive of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Right? That's about Christ Jesus. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. So Jesus calls us who are sanctified brethren. Yeah? So why will Hebrews 13 now say, let brotherly love continue? It is because our first brother, our firstborn, has demonstrated love as a template, then what do? We allow it to keep flowing. We allow it to keep flowing. We allow it to keep flowing. So it says, let brotherly love continue. Why is he using the word continuing? It's because it has been started by someone else. So it was started by God, and God in Christ Jesus will now say, let that love demonstration continue. You see, what I just read right now is similar to what we read in 1 John 3. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Similar to what we read in 1 Peter 2, right? We follow in his footsteps. Similar to what we read in Ephesians 5, be therefore followers of God as their children. Are we together? So that's the template that we see. The brotherly love will continue because the first brother, the firstborn, the first begotten, the prototokos, right? The first begotten from the dead has given to us a template that we should follow. Altogether, right? So we are to follow and follow exhaustively. Look at some a fact about the God who gives, you know, and forgiveness. So go to Lamentations 3:22. Lamentations 3 is just before Ezekiel. Lamentations 3 verse 22. When you're done with my Lamentations, we go to Micah, or I can just quote that for you. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Right? So the God that pardons iniquity is the God that has demonstrated through Christ Jesus the first, the brotherly love. And he has asked us to continue. Right? Yeah? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and takes the sins of man and puts into the depth of the sea? Right? That's God. And that's the same God who Paul says, be ye therefore followers of. Look at Lamentations 3, 22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his what? His compassion does not fail. Dear saints, don't let your compassion have an expiry date. Don't let your compassion have a limit. Some of the things we do as Christians, we put a limit on things. We put a limit on things. We put a limit on things. You know, some of us in relationship, we call it, there's a name we call it in relationship. It's called what is the something about no brainer? What is the something like about breaking points? Something around breaking points. What's the there's a word we call it. You know what I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is something that your partner would do, and you say, this one I cannot forgive. Let me tell you their sins. See, there are things that will be more difficult to forgive than the others. We are humans, but the truth is, don't, before they happen, already start having a list for it. When someone just gonna say, there's a name we call it now. There's a breakpoint, division, whatever it is. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah, you say, the day my husband does not come back home by 12. No. I cannot take that. No. Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, for his compassion does not fail. It says, they are new every morning. Now, I've taught you what it means to be new every morning. To be new every morning just really means that every morning is a reminder for us to talk and think about God's mercies that does not fail. So God does not renew his mercy every day. God is merciful. He is a merciful God. Moses knew this. Lamentation is talking about it. He's a merciful God, right? Yeah, so his compassion does not fail. And that's the same God who is on our inside that we should be followers of. All together. Now, I understand there are more things that are more gross than other things. But I'm trying to say, don't put those caps in your minds. All together. Say, if you maybe tell somebody something, say, if you tell anybody this thing, no matter what it is, I can never forgive you. Don't say that as a believer. It's not necessary. Don't say it as a believer. Now, the fact that I'm saying don't say it as a believer does not mean that you, because you know, they will not say, you're not now going to be misbehaving. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah? So, just ensure you keep renewing your mind every day. See how every day comes. Right? You see, if two believers who are married can bring their mind and put their mind and fix their mind on Christ and him alone, they will have an effective marriage. That's the truth. Because that sense of selfishness will die. That sense of selflessness will be more rebirthed every day. Yeah? That's the thing. See, it is selfishness that makes relationship break. Selfishness. I can tell you for free. You can summarize the entirety of relationships breaking in one word. Selfishness. Yeah? If you say a man went out to go and stay with another woman, yeah? That's selfishness. Do you get the point? Yeah, it's self. If you break it down, it's selfishness. is self-evident. Ha, this man, she doesn't even help me clean the kitchen. She doesn't even help me wash the kitchen. She doesn't even help me, you know. I got back home at 9 p.m. and there was no food in the kitchen. I got back home at this time and there was nothing to do. The house was so messy. Yeah, it's just about you. No, it's not about you. You know, and to our dear brothers who are watching me today, like I would always say it over and over and over and over, right? Yeah, you know, you can be more domesticated than you think. You can be more domesticated than you think. Yeah, your wife is giving birth, your wife gives birth, your wife is the one that will clean for baby, your wife is the one that will feed baby, your wife is the one that will cook your food, that will sweep your room, that will wash your... you are selfish. Yeah, you are selfish. And that selfishness begins to yield towards wickedness. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, you can support, you can help. You know, you can support. I remember, you know, my dad would say something. When my dad was, you know, with his, you know, in his family and while he grew up, my grandfather used to flog the men in his house for getting into the kitchen. So if they see a man in the kitchen, they flog you for being in the kitchen. You know, so I saw my dad make that intentional effort to tilt his mind from that ideology. Obviously, it wasn't, I mean, every day in the kitchen and everything. Because, I mean, my dad, even at the time, you know, when we're much younger, would go out on ministerial work from 6 a.m. and come back at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. and all of those things. So it was difficult for him to be in the kitchen and all of that. You know, but in the real sense, we saw the method and we saw the intentionality in changing. That's what love will do. Love will prioritize the other. Love will support. You would help. You're not too big to help. You're not too big to supply help. You're not too big to help, to assist. Yeah, I'm speaking to married people today and those who will get married eventually, right? Yeah, don't have that mindset of this is a woman's work. Yeah, and I will tell you, and I'll tell you for free, and I say it over and over. If you come to the house I live in with my wife, 90%, 95% of the time, who cooks for us is me. Who clears the dishes is me. Who sweeps the house? I'm not even exaggerating the number. Who clears their, not because she's not lazy at all, but I've intentionally chosen to be of that much of a support to her. Yeah, that's been selfless. I could be a traditional man and just sit down, cross my leg, come and serve my food, even bring water to say, honey, please, can you go and wash around in the kitchen to bring the water out of the bowl? Bring two bowls, one with warm water, one with cold water and soap. Then they will go and bring napkin for you. No, 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 no. You can actually support, you can help. You can actually help. Yeah? Your wife is cooking. Your wife is in the kitchen. You can stay with her. You can help her cut onions. Yeah? I'm not saying that. Let me tell you. I didn't know how to cook. It's not. So don't. I didn't go to a chef school. I wasn't a chef that got into marriage. No. I wasn't. No. I wasn't. In fact, the best of cooking I did in my life was actually when I got to my master's in school. I mean, definitely I was always helping in the kitchen when I was growing up. You know, I learned a few tricks from watching my mom. But the best of cooking I did for myself, I didn't go to any school to learn how to cook. Right, I didn't go to any school to learn how to cook, right? But in the real sense, there is that need to be selfless. There is that need to be selfless. Yeah, there's that need to be selfless. No, I'm not trying to go and say, look, I'm not talking to you. See, if your husband is listening to me, happy are you. If you are the wife now, don't go and now be telling your husband, see your mate, too. No, I did not ask you to do that, though. No, that's not what I am changing this thing for. I'm trying to tell you that I practice what I preach. I'm not trying to say, see your husband, see your mate, see you. Pastor saying his house, he cooked 95%. No, he might not be cooking. Yeah, it might not be that. Yeah, but you know, I'm not trying to say don't get yourself all worked up with a fixated mindset. Cooking is for women. Cooking is for girls. Cooking is for daughters. Cooking, washing plates is for daughters. No. Love will rule, or love will lead. When love leads, it takes you out of that, you know, selfishness. That it breaks those barriers of ego around you. No, it breaks those barriers of ego around you. Yeah. Somebody can't do something, someone can't do something, you help. Someone can't do something, someone can't get to something, someone can't get somewhere. You can just support. That's what love will do. Yeah, so don't get to a point where you feel like, the day, you know, some of us do that. The day I found out my wife does this, the day I found out my husband, no, don't be like that. Don't be like that. And you too, I'm not saying to you that because you know your pastor has said don't be like that, you will now go and misbehave. No. Like I said, when you see people go out and misbehave and do things that will not... You know, sometimes I find myself in situations, right? And the first thing I'm remembering is my wife. What will my wife... How will this make my wife feel? How will it make her feel if she hears? And that's why for someone like me, who I'm very open, and in our family, we're very open, we know every details. And every detail she doesn't know is either because I'm keeping it for her, for her sanity and for her safety, or in the real sense, we've not just gisted and spoken and got it to that point. But we try as much as possible to ensure that we leave that open conversation so there's no room for the devil. There's no room for, you know, things are building. Yeah? Things are building. Because you can know where things will start. You don't know where it will end. But I'm saying to you, dear saints, don't be that believer who says, the day I found out that my wife does not give my son food 2 times or 3 times a day, why are you thinking that way? That's why it's good for a man and a woman to find themselves submitted to the same doctrine that is sound. Because what it does is it works on both parties and helps them to live a life. Let me tell you something. There is no human on earth. There is no marriage. There is no community. There is no church that is perfect. There is no church that is... Everything is... No! I said it a lot during the local church series. When you find a church that is perfect, the moment you I'm looking at today, I can be calling all your names. You that I'm looking at today, the moment you join that church becomes imperfect. Me, the moment I join that church, it becomes imperfect. All together. Don't let anybody bobo you with marriage tricks and marriage tips and tell you marriage is sweet, depends on the cutlery. We know all those figures of speech. When you enter, you will know that sometimes when you want to eat, swallow, you will not use cutlery, you will use your hand. Let that parable stick with you. Are we together? Right? So what I'm trying to say is, in our imperfections as humans, we derive perfection from the work of Christ, and we point our mind to that which is a perfect sacrifice, and we give ourselves sacrificially day in, day out. I had to speak to someone, you know, I just realized that, there's a couple who eventually just realized that everything they're always saying, they're looking for counsel, but everything they're always trying to say and everything is, everything is perfect, everything is smooth. It's not possible. You cannot deceive me. It's not possible. It's not possible. You have your issues. Everybody has what they are dealing with. Everybody has what they are. Everybody has what they are trying to get better with. But I'm trying to say, in all of that, keep your eyes fixed on the perfect sacrifice. That's the only way it will work. Keep your eyes fixed on the perfect sacrifice. Think about your relationships that you've had for 10 years. You know, the more you grow, it's more difficult to build long-lasting relationships. I'm not saying it's impossible. I said it's more difficult. Yeah, there are friends you've had for 10 years, for 15 years. Don't just throw them in the bush. No. Don't just trash them in the bush. Friends who for 10, 15 years, you lived a very solid life and you know there was no animosity, nothing. Yeah, don't just throw it. Now, it might be that someone is acting for one reason or the other, but don't just throw it away. Don't just get it away. Don't be too quick to trash relationships. No, don't be too quick. Like I said, you cannot know every single person that God will use for you in the future and at every point that they will come in. Sometimes we do certain things and eventually what happens? It's at the end of life. It's their children. I always tell you, some of you that have read my story online, right? The woman who is my wife today, my precious wife today, right? Over 10 to 15 years ago, there was a love walk my dad had walked in. Guess what? A love walk my dad had walked in 10, 15 years ago. I was together, leaving his comfort zone to go and get someone healed. Right in the middle of the night, that takes an extreme understanding of the love walk. For someone who wasn't your member, you were not pastoring the person, right? I just got a call in the middle of the night at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and you left your house, right? And you went there to go and pray to get the woman healed. And we're together. And this is 10, 15 years down the line. Not, we didn't become family friends because of that. But we met in a strange country, in a strange world, in a strange land, and we are married today. You cannot know. You cannot always know. You see, no matter how much your eyes see in the spirit, I can tell you what letter lies somewhere be like Bowser. You cannot know everything and everybody that God will use for you tomorrow. So keep a humble heart. Keep a simple heart. Keep a humble heart. And next week, I'm going to speak about, you know, service in local church, how correction needs to be received, how correction must be received, how we need to make choices, intentional choices, so we'll keep our heart in check. I'll just talk about that maybe in our next meeting. But you know, for today, what I'm trying to say to you is to ensure, let love lead. Altogether, let me show you 2 or 3 more scriptures, then we'll call it a day this afternoon. If you go all the way to Matthew 10, let me look at Matthew 10 today. Matthew 10, I'll look at Matthew 10. I'll probably come back to this and Romans 12, Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10, verse 17. Matthew 10, 17. He says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you unto the council, and they will scourge you in the synagogue. Look at verse 16. Behold, I send you as what? I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Now, if you look through that scripture very well, it looks like, you know, Jesus is teaching, be very, because, you know, when you think about cunningness, we think about Satan, think about the serpent, yeah? So you think that Jesus is instructing, be cunning. No, no, no. Cunningness is not a fruit or gift of the Spirit. No. So when he says, we've done a little syntax rearrangement to this scripture, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. No, anybody who is as wise and cunning as a serpent that is cunning is because he or she as a serpent wants to harm. Do you understand? Cunningness is found in the bosom of the serpent because they're looking for how to either retaliate or how to harm. So you cannot say be as cunning as serpent, yet harmless as dove. No, 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 no. That's not what he's saying. So a real proper read to that would be therefore, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as cunning or as wise as serpents. So the wolves are similar to serpents. Are we together? But you are a sheep who is to be as harmless as a dove. Did Jesus give us that template? Yes. Did Jesus show us that template? Yes. Jesus will be in the midst of persecution, be in the midst of trouble, and he will not retaliate. The Bible says he reviled not. Are we together? So who are you? Your category there is not serpent. Your category there is not wolf. Your category there is actually to be as wise, as sheep in the midst of wolves who are harmless as serpents, but be harmless as dove. Are we together? When someone does back to you, don't go back to a drawing board. That drawing board that you have, where you're always planning people's downfall, go and destroy the leg. Go and scatter it and shatter it and break it and throw it away. Eh? How can people be doing this to you? You say, don't worry, I'll go back to my drawing board. What drawing board is that? Eh? Yeah, you'll be in the midst of people who are very, you know, fiscal or very, very, very wild. But be, you are a sheep, be as harmless as a dove. Be as harmless as a dove. Look at Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12 while I try to close this evening. This morning. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, let me read from verse 9. Let me read from verse 9. Probably will end here. And if I can, I'll just put... Before I go to Romans 12, right? Go all the way to Matthew 18. This Christmas, right? So nobody is going anywhere this morning, right? Till evening. There's no transport. Okay, you have well. Okay, but let's just spend some more minutes here and do a few things. Okay, look at Matthew's Gospel 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 18. Hold your hands in Romans, but look at Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 21. Matthew's Gospel 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. This is Peter. What did Peter say? Peter asked till 7 times. So what was Peter trying to do? Peter was trying to put a cap on it. He was trying to say, you know that kind of question that you want to now put the answer in the question so that when the person that answered the question already starts to answer, he already has a bias of what he should possibly say or not say. So Peter now says, how many times should I forgive my brethren? Yeah, that sins against me. 7 times, look at Jesus in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, right, I sin not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Are we together? 70 times 7. Yeah, you know, you won't take that literally, right, in the real sense. But let's assume you take it literally. That 70 times 7 is 490. Okay, right? Therefore, now, what is the question? How often should my brother sin against me and I forgive? Okay, so therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, look at carefully, one was brought unto him, and which he owed him 10,000 talents. So 10,000 talents, let's say $10,000. Yeah? A servant owed his master $10,000. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the master is saying, if you cannot pay, I'm going to sell you and your family, and I'll get my money from that. Then the servants therefore fell down and what? They worshipped, saying, Lord, please be patient, that is, have mercy on me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Listen carefully. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of his debt. But that same servant, he went out and found one of his servants which followed him 100 pence. Who owed him rather 100 pence? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, Pay me my money. So someone who was owing his master forgave him and he said he should go in peace. And what his own servant was owing him was way, way, way minutely less than what he was owing his master. And he saw that one and he went to hold the neck of that one and say, pay me my money. Today I've got to and will not agree with you. I will not grieve for you. Yeah, you know how they said this here? Yeah, they said the motto of this here was don't agree for anybody. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. That's not love work. And don't agree for anybody. This year, don't agree for anybody. As the year not now finish, you will not pick another motto next year. Stay with the Bible. Don't stay with trends. Yeah? Stay with the Bible. So this one has to go and pick, I will not agree for you. No. Okay? So look how they say, and his fellow servants fell down at his feet. The same way he fell down at his master's feet. And he fell down at his feet and saying, please have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Well, they're not the same words he said to his master. But his master was compassionate. Right? Look at what that happened. And the master who was forgiven, he would not. But he went and cast him into the prison till he should pay his debt. Debt, right? And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and they came and told their lord all that was done. That means they went back to the man's master and said, the man you forgave 10,000 talents. Someone was owing him 100 pence. 100 pence. So it's like saying $10,000 and then what's the second unit of dollars again? I think it's, you know, it's pence. Yeah? No, let's stay with pounds, I know. Cents, sorry. Yeah? So imagine someone, you were owing someone $10,000, they forgive you. You, now somebody was owing you 100 cents, for instance, and you held him by neck, took him to prison. Yeah? What is Jesus doing? He's answering Peter's question, how many times do I forgive? He now says, and they went to go and tell the master, right? And his fellow servant saw this and he went to tell the Lord. Look at verse 32. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. So anybody who behaves like that is wicked. Now you might be saying, I've not owed anybody in my life. Nobody has owed. Bible says, while you are yet without strength, that means we are owing. Christ died for you as the ungodly. Right? So Christ is the first, is similar, or you can use the first master as similar. Don't pick the story literally, right? Yeah. But you know, you are, what he's just trying to say is you are one who has been forgiven. You forgive much more. What is the question? How many times will I forgive? Is it 7 times? Jesus says 70 times 7. And he now gives a parable to explain what it means. It means when somebody offends you, think of what you have received, what you were owing, right? And Jesus paid back by his sacrifice. Are we together? Right? Yeah. He says, how, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desired, that means thou pleaded with me. Shouldest not thou also have done the same thing compassionately to this servant, even as I have pitied you? That's how we are. We don't want to forgive, but we want God to forgive us. Let me tell you, you that you are trying to be the most perfect, you are not perfect. Listen to me, you are not perfect. I always don't like when people try to paint themselves as perfect. They don't have flaws. Their Bible interpretation is always perfect, always correct. They always, it's not godly, it's not good. It's an expression of pride. It's an expression of pride. Yeah, your method is only the way that works. Your ideology is only the way that works. No, that's pride. You are not perfect. You are not perfect. You are not. I'm not perfect. I went together, right? Yeah. So so I wouldn't say because I'm not perfect, I'm not going to be misbehaving. No. But the truth is, I need to see myself as someone who is privileged and graced by God to just lead fellow solid men like you and I. Are we together, right? But the truth remains that there will be flaws. There will be things that we need to work on. And I'm not saying because there are things that we need to work on, we should not start misbehaving. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not communicating that at all. I'm trying to say, you know, cut people some slack. Give people some slack. Give some space. Work in love for what it is. You've been forgiven much more. Forgive another. Forgive another. Be known as someone that forgives. Be known like that as someone that forgives. Altogether, be known like that. Be known as that. That someone that forgives. You are always pro-forgiving, forgiving, 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 forgiving. Yeah, very, very important. Yeah. So this servant was forgiven, and he now went back and went to go and say, you know what? I don't take nonsense. You that they took your nonsense. Altogether, you that they took your nonsense. Say, I don't take nonsense. I don't deal with nonsense. No. I'm just a very no. Learn to pay attention to what God has given. Remember, what he has given to you is an example. Look at Romans 12, whilst we close this beautiful morning. Yeah? Romans chapter 12. Hopefully, some of you are not using me to fry chicken. Hopefully, some of you are not using me to cook sauce and steal. Yeah, the truth is that the food will not run away. You can wait, actually, you could have waited all through, right, before starting all of those preparations or paused while church was happening, right? And I hope you're taking notes and I hope you are listening attentively for yourself. Now, when these kind of teachings are done, don't be thinking of other people. Don't be thinking, Pastor is talking about, I hope this brother is online, I hope his sister is online. No, it is for you. It is for you. You see, a lot of times I go back to listen to myself and listen to what I say. Listen to my instructions as well, because it is as well for you as well for me. So when God's word has been teaching, no, I'm saying, that word, I hope that word minister to Sister Ayobami. I hope that word minister to Brother Steven. I just hope it really, no, it is for you. Oh, it is for you. It is for you. You can get better. You can do better. You can become better. You can put in your all more. You can forgive more. You can actually have a life of forgiveness more. You can actually have a life and an attitude and a culture that forgives because you've been forgiven. Look at Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good. He says, look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. How? Hebrews says, let brotherly love continue. Paul in Romans says what? Having with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Are we together? Right? He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience, in tribulation, continuing standing in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Listen to that carefully. Will people persecute you? What are you to do to them? Bless them. Altogether, bless them which persecute you, bless and not curse. So Paul says, when somebody offends you or persecutes you or does something bad to you, I say bless. If Paul now says, in case you miss it, I say bless. So, and I know that the opposite of bless is curse. I say do not curse. You know, people will do this to you and you just think that you want to just lay a curse. No, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Yeah, don't be like that, okay? Yeah, you see, there are things that people do, and in what they do, they just open the door for the devil to have a foothold on them. That's the truth. That's the truth. There are things that people will do, and in their actions, yeah, they just by default, there are some self-destructions that can happen because of, except they repent. And that's just what life is. You know, that's what life is. It's going to be unfortunate for you to think you can offend every and anybody. Because you have believers' authority, because you have believers' knowledge. No, that's not a Bible way to view life. Are we together? It's not a Bible way to view life. Yeah, there are people who are going through certain things today, having certain things that, you know, certain sickness. If I get to sick points of sicknesses, and it was because they offended someone, they did something wrong to someone. Yeah, just because there are certain things you don't just get yourself worked up with. There are certain things you don't just. Don't just put yourself. And there are certain battles as well. You don't fight for yourself. I always get that. You don't fight for yourself, right? Don't fight for yourself. There are sometimes, you know, people will say certain things to you, and you don't have to reply everything. Do you understand? You don't have to reply everything. You don't have to reply everything. You don't have to. Someone can insult you. I've had situations of people reach out to me, run down lots of insults to me, and say a lot of things, and eventually I didn't reply. I forgive them. I move on. If they come back tomorrow, you know, my wife always says something about, you know, something like that, about how, as she, you know, she was just saying it, that she wasn't, let me not tell you how she was saying it, but you know, it's something like, she knows that if this person comes back, I'll still be the one to go and hug her. I'll still be the one to go and hug him. I'll still be the one to go and do this. You know, and that's just their heart. And it means that she has observed and seen a lot. I don't teach what I don't practice, though. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm not perfect, but I try as much as possible to stay with the word. Very important. Very, very important. Like I said, there will be lines, there will be barriers, there will be lines you will draw in certain relationships and things like that for your own sanity, for your own safety, for your own mind. But let it not be that no one can come back into your space because you shut and lock the door and chew the key. Yeah, people will offend you. People will pass. If people can offend God in flesh, who am I? Who are you? I don't understand why this brother just spoke to me. Now, I'm saying to the brother, don't speak to people that way. But I'm trying to say, let's assume the brother or the sister eventually spoke to you that way. Truth is, you need to learn God's word. Stay with God's word. But why would they speak to me that way? Who are they? The truth is, yes, okay, the brother should get better. He's growing. He's in his imperfection. Accept him with all your heart. The sister, yeah. But the truth is, you must also learn to forgive. You must also learn to forgive. Yeah? Who are you? Who am I? Yeah, people will speak to us if they can speak to God in the flesh anyhow, who are we? Do you understand? That's not a license to go and be speaking to people anyhow and be saying certain things anyhow. No, that's not the license to do that. But you in your heart must understand that let God's love rule. Let God's love rule. let God's love rule. Now, if you look at the next verse, it says, bless them. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescends to men of low estate. It says, be not wise in your own conceit. Some of us are wise in our own conceit, right? Yeah, yeah. Be not wise in your own conceit, right? Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Do you see that? Recompense. Those of you that have drawing boards, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it lieth with you, live peaceably with men. You see, this scripture is one of my watch scriptures in my life. As long as it lies with you, live peaceably with men. And you know, and I'm going to say this to you as well in the coming year. You see, if you have a relationship with a friend or a spouse or even a brother in church, right, and you think they did something to you, or a sister that did something to you, or you think you don't like, yeah, the first thing to do is not to tell another person. No, you've done the wrong thing. If that's the first thing you do. No, including your husband, including your wife. Yeah. Now, if you are asking for a place of you don't know how to go about the conversation, that's different. But you are reporting it to someone else. You are already sharing, changing, turning the heart of the other. Yeah, in the coming year, learn to go and reach out to people and speak to them. I have people who have done that too over time, and eventually it bounces back on me. You understand? But I still have that, you know, that pastoring heart. Much more than pastoring heart, a heart of a brother who will just be there and open. Yeah, speak to them. Don't let it linger. Don't let it stay. Don't let it linger. Don't let it stay for 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, waiting for the right time. Let me tell you something. A lot of times, not always be the right time. Just say, oh, and brother or sister, oh, you did this. I don't really think I like. And you, if they tell you, don't go and say, who are they to say that? No, no. You know, don't be very open and vulnerable to God's word. Be also vulnerable to the words of saints around you as much as, you know, as much as you can be. Yeah, let it be that words that are said to you can correct you. Don't pick every correction as, you know, who are you? Let me tell you something. Correction, there's nobody in this world, including me, that is in the Bible, that enjoys. I just enjoy when I'm being corrected. There's nobody. Not one person. Not one person. Like I always say, you see, when I correct you, for instance, as your pastor, it reveals a lot to you about me. Simple. It reveals a whole lot about you to me. I will not say anything, I will not say anything, but it's clear, right? The extent at which you need to pay attention more to God's word. Are we together? Yeah, so correction will come. You will not like it. It will not sit well with you. But like I said, if you don't want to be corrected, what do you do? Always stay doing the word. Stay doing the right thing, right? Stay doing that which is right in our cycle, in our space, in our world, in our local church. Right, you have to come to church, for instance, at the particular time. Come early. A time will come, you will not come early, they will correct you. If you get upset, you are a child, you are a baby. Come early. You know you should be in church at this time. Be there. Yeah, you know it takes you 5 minutes for you to walk from your house to church. Leave the house 7 minutes to time you need to be there, or 8 minutes or 10 minutes. You know it's going to take you 3 buses to get to church. You know it's going to take you this bus. You know you can just do it. You can just do it. If you keep doing it, keep being right there, right? They tell you come for cell prayer meeting, you are there. They tell you come for this kind of meeting, you are there. You're not always giving excuses. You're not always giving that. You're not saying, I'm unavailable. Sorry, I'm not going to be around. Yes, I'm not going to be around. No, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Yeah? And what I'm trying to say is, even as much as we try to do the right thing, we still even make mistakes. But in the midst of that, it says, if it is possible, as much as it lieth in you, right? Live peaceably with all men. Yeah? It's very wrong for someone to do something to you and the first thing you do is not even to understand why the person did it. You just start keeping your distance. No, it's not scriptures. You just start staying away. Before usually you will hug and you say, hey, hello sister, how are you doing? Hope you are fine. Before you just start staying. No. Yeah? There should have been conversations. You know, in the coming year, learn to have conversations and have them promptly. Now, if you think that because of how you feel, you might not express yourself better, yes, that's okay. You can keep it for a while, right? Then get your thoughts together. And that's why sometimes you can write things down, jot things down so that you can communicate everything you want to say. Not from a place of anger, a place of despair. Yeah, there are people like that who are working on that as well, right? You might not want to say it on the spot, say it. But let it not be that you are waiting for the right time for your conscience to step down for 5 weeks, for 7 weeks, for 1 year. That one has passed, calm down. That one has passed work of devil. That one is getting to work of devil rather. Yeah? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. That's what happened to Absalom. And eventually killed his brother 2 years after not saying a word. But they will probably be sitting together with King David. They'll be eating together. You can know where it starts, you don't know where it will end. Yeah. So he says, if it lies with you, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So who is vengeance of? Vengeance is of the Lord. What is God's vengeance? He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what do? You feed him. If he is thirsty, what do? Give him drink. For in doing so, what are you doing? Thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Look at the conclusion in verse 21. Be ye not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So when people do evil to you, what do you retaliate with? All things good, all things love. If you look at verse 9, or verse 8 of chapter 13, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Right? So what do I owe you as my brother? Love. What do you owe me as your brother? Love. What do I owe you as my sister? Love. What do you owe me as a sister? Love. So you see, in the coming days, I want these words to sit well with you. I would expect you that between now and as you are eating your whatever Christmas celebration meal and Sunday, take out time and listen to this teaching again and again. And again, this word is a season, is a word for us in this season. And it goes straight to you the same way it comes straight to me. I want that in the coming year, you are more proactive in walking in love. You are more proactive in forgiving. You are more proactive in letting go. You are more proactive in releasing people, letting people off your mind. You are more proactive in not trying to get a list of people who offend you. You are more proactive in walking the walk that is expected of the believer, which is the walk of love. In the coming year, you can start from today saying to yourself, I will love, I will walk in love more. I will forgive more. I will overlook things more. I will give room for the humanity of man more. I'll stop raising my shoulder as one who is perfect. I'll stop presenting myself as one who is all-knowing, all-omniscient, omni-knowing, omnipresent, omni-everything. No, there is no one like that except God. So give yourself some room. Give yourself some slack. Give yourself some space. Learn to be selfless. Put selfishness aside. It's not everything is not just about you. No, it's not about you. It's not about you. You. No, the Bible doesn't teach selfishness. The Bible teaches selflessness. The Bible says, be there for followers, right? And as Christ has laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, well. Been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening, rather morning. I don't know why I'm calling it evening, right? It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful morning, and I hope that you've been instructed by that, right? Take time, listen to this again, and ensure that you get your heart to realign with God's word. Correct yourself where correction needs to be made. Get yourself to realign yourself back to what true Bible teaching says about and for the believer, right? So in the coming days, I expect that you forgive more, you love more, you pardon more, you shield yourself more, shield your heart more, you forgive more, as also learn to take correction more. Learn to receive corrective conversations from fellow brethren. Learn to receive corrective conversations from your leaders, your pastor. Learn to be pro-reconciliation, right? Don't shut the doors at people. Don't shut people behind. Don't just trash people and just say, I don't need you in my life. No. Like I said, you can't know the details of everything about tomorrow. So you can't even know who God will use for you, for your lineage, for your family, for your great-grandchildren, for your children. You can't even know. Right, so don't be too quick to close doors. Don't be too quick to close doors. Yeah, you know, I'm someone, if people block me, right, I don't block them back. Yeah, I don't block people back. No, I don't do it, right? Yeah, so that a lot of times I take our time praying for such people. So that when you come back, when God's word, I expect that God's word will touch you. I expect that God's spirit will touch your heart. When you come back, it's not that you will not be looking for three people to reach out to me. No, you have my number. You have whatever it is that you need to reach out to me with. You send me a text. I don't block people. Right, it's a personal consecration I have done. I've said to myself over time, right? Yeah, the reason I'm putting disclaimer is I'm putting disclaimer doesn't mean I'm saying you can do it at your own conviction. No, yeah. So you can just be ready to just stay with people, just open people who are troubling you with their post and their whatever it is. Mute them. You can keep them aside. You can archive them. But let it not be that you shut the doors because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I wish you all a beautiful, beautiful Christmas. lovely, lovely, lovely Christmas. And Merry Christmas to you all. Beautiful. I had a beautiful time with you all in Nigerian church a few days into weeks ago. And also for you all in UK church as well. Thank you for Sunday as well for the gift for my wife and I. We're so, so grateful. And thank you all Gospel House members for this year. I'm going to do a proper thank you probably in the next teaching we're going to have on the last Sunday of the month. Right? But anyways, we'll see again on Sunday. So Sunday, 29th of December, for the UK church, we'll meet at 10 a.m., which is going to be 11 a.m. Nigerian church. Did you get that? Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Nigerian church, 10 a.m. UK time, right? So just ensure that you are ready by 10 o'clock on that day to just share God's word and listen to God's word. And then also for the next Wednesday, we're going to do the same thing, UK time, UK time 7, Nigerian time 8 p.m., but we'll communicate that to the group chat. I want you all to know that I love you all so dearly, and I believe strongly in God's mighty hand upon your life. Please enjoy the Christmas, and as you are eating, don't forget to keep God's word on your heart. And those who you've not forgiven in the year, go back to them. If people are giving